A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon. Listen on the KSL News Radio app.
Brought to you by PC Laptops.
And in your car at 102.7 FM.
Good morning, KSL News Time. Now 6:30.
It's 46 degrees.
A crash causing delays on I-15 in Woods Cross. I'm Ricky Meese.
KSL's top story this hour.
It is breaking news. We just received word from the FBI that they will once again start searching a nature preserve for Brian Laundrie, who is the only person of interest in the Gabby Petito case.
Plus, an autopsy is scheduled to take place today in Wyoming on the body believed to be that of Gabby Petito. We begin our live team coverage with KSL News Radio's Mary Richards. Mary?
And Amanda, the FBI searched the Laundrie home in Florida yesterday and removed some possible evidence. And again, we've just found out they will resume looking for him today in the Carlton Reserve, that natural preserve, where it appears he had left a few days ago and went for a hike or a walk, is what we were told. Now, there are growing memorials for Gabby. Meanwhile, this morning, there's a cross that's been spotted made out of rocks in the area of Wyoming where that body was found, matching her description. This appears to be a memorial. In Ogden, there's a public memorial with candles, flowers, letters and mementos at that butterfly mural, where Gabby posted that picture on Instagram in August. And there's another memorial to her growing in North Port, Florida, where she had been living. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
An autopsy scheduled today in Wyoming on the body found near Grand Teton National Park. And the information found there will be a huge part of the investigation into Gabby Petito's death. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt continues our team coverage. He is with us this morning from Jackson, Wyoming. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Tim. So many crucial questions left to answer here. And Gabby's family, along with investigators, are hoping this autopsy today will shed some light. It seems a bit of a formality at this point, but they do still need to confirm the body is, in fact, that of the missing 22-year-old. Of course, Gabby's family, the FBI, and other law enforcement are behaving as though they already know for sure. Next, and possibly more important to the investigation and how to proceed with possible prosecution, is how did she die and how long ago? Other things on the minds of many: how did her body end up on the north side of Spread Creek, where most people set up camp on the south side? And is that perhaps why her body was left undetected for so long? Well, the autopsy is set to happen today. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports it could be a few weeks before we learn the final results. Reporting live in Jackson, Wyoming, Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
A man is in critical condition this morning after being hit by a car three times while he was on his bicycle.
KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly is live with the updates to this story. Heather?
Well, Tim, Roy police say the driver of the car isn't believed to have been impaired, but she is elderly. The accident happened yesterday morning in front of the Warren store in West Roy. General Manager Zeb Murphy says his cameras captured the moment the driver pulled out of the parking lot and hit the cyclist and then backed up multiple times.
Total of three times forward and three times backwards as she hit either the bike or him.
Officer Hackworth says the man is in extremely critical condition. The investigation is still ongoing. No charges have yet been filed. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. A Texas doctor is the first to be sued under the state's new abortion law. ABC's Dennis Foley reports from San Antonio.
San Antonio doctor Alan Braden bailed in the Washington Post over the weekend that he violated the state's abortion law, performing the procedure on a patient in the first trimester, but after the first 6 weeks of pregnancy. The new Texas law bans such procedures, but it's only enforceable through civil lawsuits. Two such lawsuits were filed Monday. One came from a former Arkansas attorney, Oscar Stille, who says he's not against abortion. He just wants to force a court review of the law. There are also two federal lawsuits challenging the state law itself, including one from the feds. Dennis Foley, ABC News, San Antonio.
Also new this morning, we follow a developing story. Drug maker Johnson & Johnson releasing additional data on its vaccine. The company saying a booster shot administered 2 months after the original vaccine resulted in a 4-fold increase in antibodies. The company says they are also seeing a 12-fold increase in antibodies when a booster is given at 6 months.
We are hearing this morning from some of the kids who are taking part in the Pfizer vaccine trial.
If I'm vaccinated or if I have the chance to become vaccinated, then COVID could end or it could just get better.
10-year-old Maya Huber was part of the study at Rutgers University. Pfizer says its data shows their shot is a lower dose in a lower dose is safe and effective for kids as young as 5 years old. The company will now have to formally seek emergency use from the FDA. The approval process can take several weeks.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.